when he started to, after we moved to farm, then the stuff that I would buy, like bologna and cheese or anything from the store, you know, and fix his dinner, then he'd stop at his folks and they'd throw out some of the stuff I fixed for his dinner, and they'd put in chicken and things that his mother would fix.
Were there ever things as a child that you were not allowed to do or you were discouraged from doing because you were a girl?
Yeah, I couldn't play leapfrog at school. The teacher wouldn't let me play leapfrog over jumping over the boys and all. I wore bloomers, but that didn't make any difference. He said, "Well, neither, that's not very ladylike for you girls out here playing leapfrog." I said, "I enjoy it." That was the only thing that they objected. But I used to start, and we, at the store, there was kind of a hill down, you know. I used to go out there and turn somersaults down that hill. I would do anything that way and swim or anything that way. No, my mother wasn't too strict with us because we were girls. And they, I thought they treated us pretty nice.
Now, where were you in the order of children?
My eldest brother is 87 now, and then another brother was about 4 years younger than I was, the next one. And then I was born in 1900. Then my next sister was born in 1904, and the next sister was born in 1908, and another brother 1909, and another sister 1912, and another brother 1914. There was eight of us. And my father's brother had eight children. One brother had only two, but another brother had eight children, and his sister had eight children, and Pop had eight children. But we enjoyed life. We got along together. We never could fight. That's one thing. Mother would never let us fight. Now, I used to kind of tease my sister next to me, and she used to get so angry, she threw things at me. So one time she threw a can lid, one of those can lids, and hit my tooth and broke a tooth off. And so Mother, she said, "Well, it was all my fault. I had no business teasing my sister." So then when she went to get a gold crown on my tooth, it cost her an awful lot because the tooth had died, the root had died, and it looked so bad, you know, half of the tooth all black there, so they got a gold crown for my tooth. And I forget what it cost her, and she said, "I could skin that sister yours alive." I said, "That wasn't what you said when she hit me." Because it cost a good bit. But when I was a senior, I think it was, I spelt the school down. And at that time, they had over the country, over the county, all the high schools, whoever spelt the school down would go to another school and see who could spell each other down. And I was the last one up from my school again. There was four of us went, and I was the last one up. Well, then the teacher got me a great big picture, two deers a-fighting. And I kept those picture, but I left it back home. I don't know what ever happened to it. But I could spell the school down, and I could cipher them down. I was quick on adding up, you know, or subtracting or anything. I was quick that way. But my mind seems to, in writing, it goes faster than I write. And I make a lot of mistakes in writing. That's my worst trouble in writing. But I don't know, I don't know what kind of mind I got, but it seems to go faster. And I know in talking, I talk fast, you know, and I talk loud. But I lived with a woman after when my second child was born, I lived with another woman. She was hard of hearing. And I always had to talk loud to her. Well, on the farm, I used to go out and call the hogs from clear across the fields and holler at them, you know. I ought to go to the hog calling contest. I thought sometime I would. And those hogs would come every time. I don't know whether they heard me or whether they saw me. But anyway, they'd come a-running when I'd go out. That was fun, you know, to see them come a-hurrying, you know. I enjoyed things that way. And one time we had five little ducks. And my eldest daughter used to, when she'd come home from school, just before time for them to come home from school, those ducks would come around to the front porch. I don't know whether it's instinct or what, but they knew just about what time they were supposed to do that. Well, then my eldest daughter sit on the porch, she'd sing to those ducks. And if she stops singing, she'd have to catch her breath for a minute or two, they would whack for her to sing. And they got such a kick out of things like that. You know, the children enjoyed things that way. They never had the nice childhood that I had. I got to go swimming, got to go boating and skating, or just with my shoes on, skating, but I couldn't wear skates because my ankles were too weak. But I had a good childhood. And, of course, I enjoyed going to church, and we'd go to prayer meeting, and we learned the books of the Bible. Now, I couldn't tell you very much. I couldn't answer a lot of things, but by times on TV, I can answer a lot of the Bible things. But I've forgotten a lot of the Bible things. I should read the Bible more than I do, but I don't go to church now. I usually would never miss as long as I was able to go. I took my children. Lloyd didn't go. He'd go as far as his folks and stop and talk to them. And I'd take the children and go on to church with them. I kept them in church because I believed in that. And I'm not sorry that I did now, but I had to do it alone. But then maybe the children turned out better because they could see how things were otherwise, you know, and how other people, children would do that didn't go to church. And maybe all that helped. I don't know. But I think that even today I read about these abused children and abused wives and everything. And even the men get abused sometimes, I see in the paper, too. But now they're shooting each other now. That one guy that shot his ex-wife and killed her friend, you see, the one that was killed, I believe was a, you see, this was a lawyer that did the shooting, wasn't it? The one that was killed was a physician that was in with another physician that took care of my husband when he was struck by an automobile one time, broken leg. But Allie, or whatever his name is, his two children had to get up and witness. That would be terrible. Wouldn't that be terrible? Now, there was three homes broken out there. Yeah. But I can't understand why Elia, or what do you call him, did such a trick. But somebody told me that he caught him in bed. Well, even then, he got married after the divorce. Well, why didn't he let his wife do what she wanted to do? Now, that's the way I look at things all right. Although, maybe he felt like a little bit like I do. Now, that wasn't good for the children. His wife was doing that before, that is, in the home with the children. And because that was one thing my lawyer told me. He said, I want you to behave yourself. I said, you don't have to worry about that. But I said, my husband can go out to these home or out to these houses. And I said, he can do things. He said, well, I don't want you to do anything. He said, I'll take your children away from me if they prove it on it. And that's one thing. But nowadays, I don't know, they can seem like they get by with it nowadays, but they shoot each other now instead of getting a divorce. But that was so odd, though. I feel sorry about this guy doing that, but you know, he's out on bond. But that, there was, it used to be, if somebody broke up a home that way and you kill somebody, then it seemed like they favored you by trying to protect your home. Well, I didn't try with any guns. I wouldn't have a gun around the house because I said they'd take away from me and shoot me, probably. But I never wanted a gun around. We had the shotgun there, and Roy threatened me a couple times. And the day that he had a sale, I never could figure why, but the lawyer let him have the sale, but he sold off a lot of the stuff because he wasn't home to take care of it, and I had it all to take care of, but that's when I filed for divorce. And so the day of the sale, my youngest daughter had a whooping cough so bad. That night, she hooped so hard she fell on the floor. Well, I was worried sick because I didn't know what to do and I had no medicine for it. So I sent my boys down to a neighbor that would call up a doctor. The neighbor didn't call a doctor till way late at night, and the doctor didn't come out to my house till almost midnight. Well, then later on, she told me that my husband was in the woods standing behind a tree with a shotgun, and he happened to see two people in the car, so he couldn't do anything. But he might have shot some innocent person. I told this neighbor, I said, why did you ever pull a trick like that? I said, my husband could have shot an innocent person. I said, I don't go with men, or I don't have anything to do with men. I said, I don't commit adultery. And I said, they can't prove it on me. And I said, I don't understand, Nellie, why you ever waited so long to call a doctor. Because she laughed about it. She thought that was funny that he was up there with his shotgun. He could have shot somebody, because he was jealous. Now, that's one thing, he was jealous. But why can a man do anything when a woman can't? But to this day, there is a double standard of morals, even to this day, because we're still not equal to a man, even though this ERA, they claim it will be, but that's more for put them in the law, in the war or everything, you know. But we're more like a chattel for a man. They possess us in a way. And we can't do a lot of the things that a man can do. They can do things and get by with it. And I don't understand that at all, but the law seems to be in their favor. But my lawyer did tell me, he says, everything that Roy was doing was going against him. He had no right to sell anything when it was in litigation, you see. But he did. But I had to tell the auctioneer that anybody bought anything, that they may have to give it up. Well, if we had never gone back together, what I was going to do, I was going to sue everyone that came that day. They come into my home, and they wouldn't let me have a bite of bread or anything to give my children. Now, three or four people from church served the dinner, and they wouldn't give me anything for my children. They wouldn't give me anything for me because I didn't have a penny. I didn't have a cent. Because he seemed to that I didn't have any money at all up till the time that he had the sale. And he and his brother took all the money from the sale and went home. Well, when the doctor came that night, I told him, I said, I don't understand things. I said, I'm a respectable woman. And I said, I don't take the men into the bedroom when they come to see me. And I said, tell me, what can I do? I said, the church people come here and they served at lunch and they wouldn't let me have anything for my children. They wouldn't let me have anything. And I did have a few canned goods, but so many of the canned goods spoiled. And I've often wondered whether there was something put in some of those foods that made those cans spoil. Why would they spoil so much of them? I could can as well as anybody. And sometimes, at first, I used to have good stuff in cans, but all of a sudden, and things started to go bad, and they wouldn't keep. Well, I was afraid to eat anything from those cans. And I didn't have any money, but we didn't have anything to eat that day. So when I talked to the lawyer, and the doctor, I don't know what on earth he ever done. But boy, the next day, we got some food, and and Roy came home, and he gave me a check, $30 check for a whole month. Well, that was good enough, because I didn't ask for too much. But when I talked to the lawyer, I asked for everything, because I wanted my share of everything. I helped to take care of everything, and I wanted my share. Well, the lawyer told me that I didn't dare to have the place put in my name, because if I did, then Roy could force me to support him. And I could not. I was not well enough. I couldn't support him with what little I would make off of the farm. And I said, well, that's all right. But I said, my name ought to be down on the deed anyhow. So he finally decided to, and when we went back together, the lawyer then had both of our names put on the deed. And from that time on, then Roy let me take care of anything. In selling the place back home, after we moved out here, I wrote to my lawyer and told him how much I wanted for the place to go ahead and sell. And Roy let me take care of all that, as far as that's concerned. So he did treat me all right, but it's the influence that they had when we were back there. And I would give anything to this day if we could have moved away when we first got married, which I wanted to. We would never had any trouble, because I didn't want trouble. But when somebody's telling you, oh, you ought to knock her down, to knock some sense in her head, and she's crazy, and she's this, and she don't do right with this, and she don't do like she ought to with that, I couldn't make the money like some of them made. Now, that was what they held against me. Well, I tried to, what money I made, I tried to make it honest. And I do to this day. I don't try to gyp anybody. And they went against me for that, some of them. Because some of them was kind of crooked to get what they got. So, what are you going to do? It's hard to deal that way. But I wanted the man I married, and I didn't want some other man. Now, that was me, as much as anything. Now, if I'd have been some women, why, they'd gone out and went with other men, regardless whether the lawyer said so or not. But the only two things that I said that I felt like that I had a right to, and that was to be respectable, and the other was I asked to take my children out of the state if I ever wanted to. Those two things, that's about the only thing I would say that I really had advantage of. And outside of that, why, they just done everything. And we never got anything back of what they sold at the place, because we finally went back together. But two groups met us in town after another guy had come there, and he made a pass at me, and I told him, I said, well, I don't do wrong with anybody, but I said, I want you to tell me something. Why is it? I'm a respectable woman, and I said, some of these people had to get married, and I said, I never had to get married. I said, I can bring every young fella I ever went with on the court, and I said, there isn't a one I'm going to ever say that they ever used me. I said, nobody ever used me. My husband didn't use me before we was married, and I said, I wanted my husband, and I said, but I will not put up with him of beating up on me. I said, I will not put up with that. And I said, he don't want to listen to me. I said, he listens to his folks, and they tell him, fill him full of all kinds of stuff. And I said, I don't run home to my mother. And I said, they try every way they could to get me to run home to my mother, and I won't do it. And my mother would have helped me if I had to have help, but then with the way things were, I told her one time, I said, gosh, Dad, I will poison you if you help me. And I said, I don't ask for any help. So then There was a group of them. They knew, because every time I went to the store, or went to with a check, why a neighbor had to take me to town. And she used to call up some of the others, you know, and let them know that they'd gone into town. Well, that one time, then I guess they talked to my lawyer or something. After that one man, I think he went to town, and I don't know who he talked to, but he talked to somebody, because I told him, I said, I can't understand why it is that I'm a respectable woman, why it is that they take the advantage of me. And I said, look how they did the day of the sale. He was there the day of the sale, but he didn't buy anything, but he was there and saw it off the gun. And most of it was a lot of his own people that bought stuff, anyhow. But I said, I'm getting kind of fed up, and I said, I'm pushed back up against the wall. And I said, I'm not going to put up with this much longer. I said, I'm going to file suit against everyone I can file suit against. Well, he undoubtedly must have went and told somebody. Because that very day is when I got another check to go and get my groceries. And so Nellie was her name, my neighbor, and she took me into town. Well, we was walking down the street, and all at once, here a group of them back on, and here a group of them on the other side of it. They met when they come up to me. So one of them, the group says, well, Juanita, you got to let Roy come back home and let him help take care of those children. I says, well, who said so? I says, I don't know why I have to let him come back home. I says, he don't care anything about us. He don't care anything about the children. He don't want to give me any money to take care of my children. I says, I can't see the idea of him coming back home. And I said, he'll promise this and promise that. Well, one of them spoke up, well, he'll do better. And he'll promise this and he'll promise that. I said, well, I always heard that pie crust was so easily broken. And I said, they tell me that his pie crust is so easily broken and his promises don't amount to anything. I said, look what he did when I was supposed to go to school. And I said, I don't blame him. Well, we talked there, I bet you was an hour or more. So finally, I don't know which one, but they kept talking back and forth. And they said, well, I should let him come back and try. I says, I don't see any reason for it. I said, he's got other women. I says, let him go ahead and have all the women he wants. I says, I'm not after another man, but I says, I just don't see any reason for him to come back. So then they finally persuaded me to go down and talk to the lawyer. He was only about a block from the lawyer's office. So we went down there, and when we went in, and first the lawyer had us sit out on the divan. And the lawyer told me after, he said he never saw two people that sat there like statues in his life. He said he got such a kick out of both of us. He told me a long time after we went back together, because I used to go in and talk to him in different things and find out about different things. And he said, you know, so many of them that comes in here, they want a divorce, and he says they'll sit there, and they can't leave each other alone. He says, if the woman goes after the man will go after the woman. And he said, it's so odd. He said, you're the first couple that I've ever seen in my life that sat there like statues, and you didn't say anything, you didn't know anything. Well, I said, I didn't intend to do anything. I said, I didn't know why you wanted to talk to us, but I said, you told us to come down here that you wanted to talk to us. So he had me to come in first, I think, and talk to him. And he said, do you want Roy to come back? I said, I married him because I wanted him, but I said, I will never put up with him or doing like he's been doing. I said, we'll make plans, and then he goes up to his folks, and they change the plans. Well, then a lot of times they don't tell me, but I said, I don't know if I'm psychic or not, but I said, I find out that I guess at what plans they've made, and sometimes somebody will hint and give me a hint, you know. And I said, I find out some of the plans that they make, but I said, I've always resented that he wouldn't go to school or go to where I was supposed to teach school, because I said, then I could make some money at that time, and I resented them influencing him. And so we talked a while and different things. And then let me go back out and sit out. And so he called Roy in. Well, he talked to him quite a while. Well, I never could find out what he ever said to him. Well, then finally, he told Roy that whatever he told him, I don't know. But then he calls us both back in his office. So he says, well, Mrs. Bowling says, Roy promises to do better by you. Well, I said, I don't think he will. I said, you know, I don't have much faith in him anymore. And he says, well, he's promised he'll even go to church with you. And he says, he'll do better. I said, well, I says, I can't make any plans with him, because he goes and talks it over with somebody else, and they always change his mind. And I said, that's no way to live. And I said, I'm tired of it. So he says, well, he's promised to do better. And he says, I think you'd ought to let him come back. Well, I said, I still sat there, and I said, I don't know whether I wanted to or not. I wasn't too enthused about it, because I was afraid he, like you always say, they can't teach old dogs new tricks. But anyway, we started back home, and we decided then we'd try it again. Well, then that broke everything before, you know, when you file a suit, but then that drops everything. And I said, well, he might be worse than he was before. Because I had heard a lot of people do that, you know, after they go back together, then their meat and all get out. You even see it now in the paper where they decide to be back together and their meat is all get out. So then we got to the porch, just before we got in the house, he turned around to me. He said, who did you fall for? He said, what guy did you fall for? I says, I didn't fall for anybody. I said, I could ask you, but I'm not going to ask you, because I said, I don't want to know who you fell for, but I said, I'm not going to ask you. But I said, I married you because I wanted you, but I was not going to put up with the way you've been doing with me all these years. And I said, I will not put up with it. And so we went in the house then. We talked quite a while before we went to bed. But from that time on, he treated me better. Oh, before he had the sale, his lawyer had told him to go home, come to my place, and go to bed anyhow. Well, one evening he come in and he jumps in bed and got ready and got in bed. So I went and got the rolling pin and went to the door. And I held it up like that. And I said, now, you people have told me that you are telling people, I don't know how true it is, that you've told people that I've been mean to you and I've harmed you in every way I can. But I said, if you don't get out of bed, I'm going to use this rolling pin on you. I said, the lawyer said not to let you go to bed, and I said, I'm not going to let you go to bed. I said, I don't know, your lawyer probably told you to go to bed, but my lawyer told me not to let you, and I said, I'm not going to let you. He jumps out of bed, and away he goes over to his sister's house. Oh, he was really burnt up, because like they used to say, they didn't know what Juanita would do when she say anything, she's liable to do it. But I couldn't have hit him, that's always good. I could have struck him, but I let on that I would have. But my lawyer said, don't you let him go to bed, because if he comes back home, then he'll stay at home. Well, that would wake up anything that I could have against him. And so then he goes over to his sister's, I guess. I don't know where he went, but he'd stay somewhere. But anyway, I was always happy that he did come back home, because the children needed him, and they was hurt. They was harmed because of the trouble we had, and they could see how they'd done with him, and they knew that he was so easily influenced. And I felt bad with the children because they were harmed. They were harmed all physically, you know, that is nervous and everything. And they was upset over everything. And I tried to do what's right, and I proved to them I loved them and everything. So I come out ahead by being like I was. And I'm proud that I could handle it like I did. Now, some women wouldn't have handled it that way. They'd have been hellish and everything. But I never wanted to be that way. This way, I don't have to sit and feel sorry for myself and think, oh, if I ever had everything to do over, how different I would be. I coped the best way I could, and that's all I could do. But I wouldn't run home to Mom. And he used to fling out in my face, well, if I'd go home and talk to my mother, maybe I could save money or I could do this. I said, Mom told me when I got married, I was out of on my own, and I'm not going to run home and beg for nothing.
Oh, my God. Juanita, I'd like to go back and ask you, when you were a girl again, and ask you what kind of preparation you had for menstruation. Did your mother prepare you for that, talk to you about it, or did you know about it?
No, I didn't know anything until one day you want that or down? Well, one day out at our, we had the outhouses, you know, at the school, and there was blood on the seat. Well, at the time, I thought one of the girls had hurt herself. That's what I thought. Well, two of the older girls, they had always, I heard that, of course, they were old enough to come sick. And we got to torment another girl, wasn't quite as old as I was. Well, she started to cry. Well, I didn't know what I was tormenting her about, but the others were tormenting, and I helped to torment, too. Well, we went to the school building. Teacher says, Juanita, what you tormenting Mary about? Well, I didn't get to tell him. I says, oh, we were just tormenting her. And I said, I'm sorry that we made her cry. But he said, well, you shouldn't make her cry. I didn't dare to tell him why. So then I went home and I told Mom. I said, Mom, I said, told her what had happened. I said, there was blood on the seat. Well, then she told me. She said, now, Juanita, just said, I'm going to tell you something. She said, now, at a certain age, you come sick. That way they call it, you come sick. And she explained it that way. And so then Mary's mother came down, and she wanted my mother to tell Mary. That was her name. And Mom said, no, you tell her yourself. Well, I didn't go tell her. I didn't tell Mary anything. I thought, well, let somebody else tell her. That's their business. So I kept still. You see, at that time, everything's hush-hush on anything like that. Well, anyway, then, when my sister comes sick, we were out on the farm, I think, at that time, and I saw her washing her panties out. So I went in the house, and I told Mom, I said, now, Mary will put those wet pants back on, and she might stop that flow of blood. And I said, Mom, you'd better tell Mary. Well, then she told Mary then. That was my sister. She told Mary. That was another Mary. It was my sister next to me. And so she told her. Well, then Mom, there was a man came through the country that had a book. It says, Know Thyself by Shannon. And, oh, that's one of the best books that anybody could ever have. Well, Mom bought that. Well, I looked at the book. These words, I didn't understand them. I couldn't understand anything. And I wasn't interested in as much as a person should be, I guess. I didn't care what it said, you know. I didn't care about learning about things. Why, I don't know, but I just wasn't interested. So one day, I was going back to college, and I asked Mom if I could take the book with me so I could study or read it, you know. She said, well, I don't really want you to, but she says, I guess you can. I took it to college, and somebody stole it. They said that I had no right to read a book like that. Well, I felt bad because Mom paid, I think, about $5. And at that time, that was a large of money. That'd be like about $25 now. But Mom paid for that book, and I was always sorry that I did take it to college. And I knew the woman that had taken it out of my room, but they said I had no right to read a book like that. I said, I don't know why. I said, my mother bought it, and I don't know why I don't have a right. And we tried to find out who had it, but we could never find out.
What about the day that you started your period? What was that like? Remember?
I was a little bit late starting mine. No, I don't remember. I just can't remember, but I knew at the time I didn't feel too good. I had spots before my eyes to begin with. Now, I don't know whether I had anything to do with it or not, but I used to, and then I'd get deathly sick after those spots before my eyes, and I knew that I'd get sick in my stomach or sick or something. But when I come sick, it was just, I knew what to do. Mom told me what to do. Had told me before, so that never bothered me then. That from that time on, I was all right on that.
What about sex education? Did you have any sex education?
No, they never told us anything.
In school. How did you first learn about it?
Well, you know, my husband taught me more than I did anything else. He said, I never saw such a dumb person in my life as you were. Being a school teacher said, you ought to know. I said, I didn't know. I said, I didn't know about things. And but that never bothered me. They could say anything to me because I just took it and went on, you know, because I never read about sex. Now, I could have with that book of Shannon's, and I often wished I could got a book for my children. But when I moved to the farm then, I sent to Washington, D.C. and got books of what to teach a child from 1 to 6 and 6 to 12 and 12 to 18. And I let my children read those books, and I said, now, you ask me questions, anything you want to ask. And I let them read and try. I said, now, I'll explain a lot that I can, but I said, now, there's some things I can't explain to you. Well, when my youngest daughter was born, my youngest son and my eldest daughter wanted to be a nurse and a doctor. Well, it was the way I talked to them. I talked to them just like older people, and I said, now, you ask me questions. Now, you go to school, and I said, don't argue with them. Some of these other kids. I said, their parents and their father and mother, their grandmother don't want them to know things, and I said, I don't want you arguing that way, because that's the way it old did when he come home over me being heavy. My stomach was heavy. The first time, I said, well, I eat a lot. Well, that didn't satisfy him. Then he went back to school, and I guess he and the neighbor boy got into it. Well, then the neighbor boy came over, and he knew that the way Lowell talked to him, that I had told him things. So I told this neighbor boy, I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. I said, your grandmother and your mother don't want you to know things. They think you're too young. But I said, now you go with your dad whenever he takes a sow to a boar. And I said, whenever he takes a cow to a bull. And I said, now everything, even a worm or birds or anything, has to have a mama and a daddy. I said, they can't have it without a mother and a daddy. But I said, you have told my son that I found Marilyn out in the berry patch. I said, I never heard tell of it. I said, in the briar patch, she'd be all scratching briars and everything. And I said, I don't like that. And I said, my husband is the father of all my children. And I said, anybody says they're not, because they even told around that, well, his sister one time said, you always know who the mother is of a child, but you don't know who the father is. Now, that's the way they talk. And I told this neighbor boy, I said, you've heard him.